Welcome to the Metal Hammer podcast. It is episode 156. I am Mel from Metal Hammer. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week. Hope you're doing okay out there. Before we get on with this week's show, I should remind you that the latest issue of Metal Hammer magazine is out right now as a special edition issue counting down the 100 greatest songs of the century so far, the anthems that have defined the last 21 years of metal. It's a hell of a list. We think you're going to like it. It's certainly going to provoke some strong opinions, I'm sure. And it comes absolutely stacked with some really cool gifts as well. So if you fancy picking that up, you can do so at shops across the UK right now. Or you can get it delivered straight to your door from tinyurl.com/gethammer. That's tinyurl.com/gethammer. We really appreciate your support as always. So this week's show is dedicated to a chat that I had with heavy metal influencer Kiki Wong a few weeks back. Now, don't go anywhere. Don't get snidey. Don't raise your eyebrows. I know the word influencer feels very loaded and comes with a lot of kind of presumptions about what that exactly means. But Kiki is legit. She's an amazing metal guitarist that has played in a number of bands over the years, currently playing in the awesome LA Rockers Vigil of War. But she's found her biggest success on platforms like Instagram and TikTok for embracing the influencer art form. But she's not really been doing that through the kind of usual Instagram and TikTok avenue. She's been doing that through playing heavy metal songs, by playing Dio songs and Iron Maiden songs and Metallica songs. So it's a really, really interesting route into this world that she's had. And it's really fascinating to see heavy metal reach people in a totally new way. And she's got a hell of a story as well in terms of how she got to where she is now. She's played with some real heavyweights of the rock world in years gone by and of the pop world as well. She's played some award shows with some really unexpected figureheads of the pop world. So you're definitely going to stick around and hear all about that. She's got a great story, and she tells it exclusively here on this very podcast. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to me and Kiki. If you can hear a tiny bit of noise in the background on some of her chat, it's because there was a bit of roadworks going on outside her window, but it's very, very minimal. I don't think you can really hear it that much, to be honest, but if you do pick up a little something, that's what it is. But yeah, screw it, this is me and Kiki from a few weeks back. Hope you enjoy. Stay metal, everyone. All right, I'm here with Kiki. How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I've been good. It's been a crazy time in COVID, but I'm trying to make the best of it so far. So.
Yeah, I guess your day must just be like, get up, make a shitload of content, and that's that. And like, what's a typical day look like for you right now?
Oh my goodness. Right now, it's absolutely insane. I've been making so much content lately, and more than ever, I've just been more inspired to create videos and just keep pumping stuff out. So I wake up usually around 7 because of the construction that's happening right out my window, which is lovely. and then I brainstorm ideas. I'll usually just, like, if I wake up with a song, I'll write it down, I'll jot it down on notes, and then I just start creating content while the sun's up. Sun sets at 6. So, and after that, I play piano, write some more, and then 9 p.m., I'm exhausted.
Sounds right. You're keeping busy though, right? That's what's great about a lot of what you do, I guess. Are you kind of comfortable being called an influencer? Because obviously what you do at the moment is very internet facing. I know you've got a ton of other stuff going on, which we'll talk about as well. But are you kind of comfortable with that tag? Because it's not really a tag we're used to seeing associated with kind of metal personalities.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I work in digital marketing also on the side, and the influencer like term is a really interesting one, because a lot of the times people are going to associate it with somebody that goes on and takes pictures of them traveling the world and not quite doing much, and then they're getting all of these opportunities where they're like, you know, what? So that's like the influencer term that we all know. I've played music since, you know, 2009, I started doing, playing in a professional band and stuff. And after that, I did embark into that influencer world. And I realized it just wasn't working. It wasn't for me. It felt like I was an imposter and I wasn't being who I really was. And then I just went back to my roots, went back to what I wanted to do, which is music. And ironically, I've turned into a music influencer. I'm used to the term. However, the two don't necessarily go hand in hand, but I'm just kind of embracing it as it goes and enjoying the ride. So,
yeah, sure. That makes sense. I mean, you have done so much already before, I guess,
whoever knows you for what you're doing now, you have a kind of almost like these multiple other lives before all this. How was it that you first kind of got into metal and rock music in the first place?
Oh man, so my brother, who's about 18 months older than me, he has been such a big influence in my life. I was always kind of like, I want to be just like my brother kind of situation. And we were like best of friends. So I remember like when I was about 11 or 12, he introduced me into like Linkin Park at the time. And that was sort of like the segue in. And I was like, cool, cool. And then he's like, okay, now you have to listen to Metallica. And I was like, oh. And that's like really kind of what got me into guitar in the first place. So I basically, Metallica was the segue into like all the crazy heavier stuff that I still continue to love. So
awesome. And I read as well that kind of in terms of your playing, was it either your father had an acoustic guitar that he taught to you to play on a little bit, and that's where kind of your musicianship really came into play?
Yeah. That's so basically what happened was my dad was in the military. He was stationed in Korea, met my mom, and he wooed his way to her heart through an acoustic guitar. And then he stopped playing. And so my mom one year, I think it was when I was about like, I was probably maybe 10 or something. She was like, I'm going to go buy an acoustic guitar from Costco. And it was like $100, like plastic, like basically plastic Yamaha acoustic guitar. And he bought it for him. He played a little and then it went to the closet. And then after I started listening to Metallica, I was like, I really want to learn Master of Puppets. Like, that sounds really cool. So I was like, Dad, can you like teach me a couple of chords? And I think I was about 13 years old. So he's like, sure. So he taught me my first three chords. And then I learned House of the Rising Sun first, because he's like, you can't just jump into Master of Puppets. It's not going to fly. And then I ended up just playing on the acoustic. This was pre-YouTube days. I'm a little older. So I was playing piano, and my parents were like, well, you know, you can't take guitar lessons. We already have you doing piano. You should focus on one thing and get really good at it. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm still going to learn the guitar. So I went online and I just went on like different websites at the time, because they didn't have social media or anything. So I just went on websites and tried.
Okay. I remember those days as well. Don't worry.
Okay. Awesome. So, but yeah, and then just taught myself online, and here we are. So
wow. And at one point, so obviously you're playing guitar, you're kind of getting into bands and stuff. At one point you were in what's described in your website as a girl band called Nylon Pink. Now, when someone says girl band, you kind of think of like pop music, like choreographed dance moves, all this kind of stuff. But you guys were a band.
Yeah. It was funny. Like, so I got involved with that band. I was doing like, I was in college still at the time. And I was kind of like trying to do these modeling gigs to like pay, you know, get whatever, like side cash. And these girls had a gig and they were like, hey, it's a jewelry company. We're doing a shoot. So I was like, sweet. And it's like paid $100. I remember. I was like, woo. So I went to the gig. They ended up being these like super rad, like super stylish, like two little Asian girls. And I was like, holy cow, they're awesome. And they saw in my profile, they're like, oh, you play metal guitar? Like, we have a band. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's go to your garage and jam. Ended up being in like a studio and all this stuff. So Nylon Pink was the band. And basically it was like an all Asian girl group. And we did K-pop covers. And we also did our own original music. But like, obviously I was like, well, we got to make them heavy. So I kind of like incorporated some like heavy guitar stuff in there. But it was mostly like K-pop covers and such, though.
Oh, wow, cool. That's really interesting. And then while this is going on or leading on from this, you've done a ton of other stuff as well. You played with Taylor Swift at the VMAs. You played with Usher at a big fashion rock show. You played guitar with Bret Michaels for a Nissan advert. Like, that sentence gets weirder and weirder as I say it. How did you kind of get into get those kind of jobs? Were you just kind of working as a session musician for a while and stuff picked up, or how did you kind of get into those things?
Well, so I was like literally like, you know, when I was playing in the band, I actually was involved. I was working at the hospital with stroke and Alzheimer's and dementia patients. So I was a pre-med and I was on my way. I was like, yo, I'm just doing this for fun. And then I'm going to go to become a doctor. It was crazy. I did that for about a year and a half. And I remember my band was like, we got a tour in China. You have to go. And I was like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. So I told my job, I was like, I got to go to this tour. And they're like, well, you can't work here. So I quit on the spot. tour got canceled. So I had to find all these. Yeah, I was like, well, I don't know what to do. So I ended up having to find all these crazy jobs. And one of them was like, I'm just going to start like doing acting on the side and like just hopefully that, you know, I'll get a gig. Eventually, my agent saw that I played music and started submitting. And then I got involved with, first it was the Bret Michaels gig. So they were looking for a guitar player, and I went in, did the thing, and they casted me, and I did the commercial, and it was completely insane. Like, first off, it's Bret Michaels. Like, he's such a rad dude and so, so cool in person. And we went out and shot out in, like, the middle of Arizona in a desert, right? And it was a five-day shoot. And I was in, like, you had to basically, like, shut your phone off. They took them and they put them in these bags so you couldn't, like, show anything because it was very, like, top secret, like, shooting location where they create all the cars. And we were out there. I remember this was in 2012, and we were out before drones were, like, accessible to the public, I guess.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, shooting there, and we were out in the desert, and it was sweaty. It was 109 degrees Fahrenheit. And they had me out there like shredding, and then like these huge drones like circling above, and like, and I ended up getting heat stroke out there, so they had to like
stop
the entire thing and put me in one of the
so not rock and roll dude.
yeah. I was feeling great until I was like, oh, I guess I'm having heat stroke. So
oh man,
yeah. But it was super fun. And then after that, I ended up, my agent like was like, okay, well, here's great potential. A lot of people saw the commercial, and this amazing stage producer, he had seen me and was like, hey, let's do the Taylor Swift thing. So I did drums for them. And then immediately he was like, okay, well, we have another big production in New York. We're flying you out to go do drums for Usher for Fashion Rock. So that was a really cool year. A lot of stuff happened, so it was really
fun. All that stuff happened in 1 year. I mean, what was it like kind of getting I guess a bit of an insight and taking kind of like one step into that world? Because it's I can't even imagine how crazy it must have been to kind of just be in that environment for a few months.
It was insane. Like, there was so much momentum happening. And I was just like, I didn't really know. I felt like I was too young to like process everything. So I just was like going for it. Like, I just was working really hard and working to my best ability. But like, you just get hits of like adrenaline and hits of like that endorphin rush from like being on those stages that like, once you have it, you're like, I got to have more. I got to keep going. And it just gives you like that passion and that fuel and drive to just like be the best that you could possibly be. So it was one of by far the most incredible experiences.
Amazing. Sure. So you kind of got to this point where you'd, like I said, you kind of already lived this life, really. You'd kind of like had this career in Nylon Pink, and you'd been doing all this stuff as a guitarist with all these amazing names in kind of showbiz culture, I guess. And then there's an interesting kind of evolution of the whole Nylon Pink thing. You mentioned how you kind of almost stepped into the influence of life for a bit, and you kind of became a travel and lifestyle blogger. And that seemed like it was a really successful period for you as well. You got hundreds of thousands of views. You were on various huge news channels in the States doing various things. How did you kind of end up gravitating towards that particular period of your life?
Well, that was crazy. So what happened was, after like all the like the TV stuff was going on, Jerry Only from the Misfits had created a band. It was like this super group girl band called the She Demons. And me and Alicia, who's the singer of my band right now, were in it. And we took part in this amazing, incredible project with him and toured all over. And I was like, I need to quit everything to do this. Unfortunately, the project didn't, it took a sudden halt, which as a lot of projects do. And I was left completely like depressed. I kind of just felt like I hit rock bottom at that point, and I was like depressed. I went into debt. I was like jobless. I just felt like completely like dead, and I didn't like want to play music at all. I didn't touch a guitar for 3 years. So I needed to like kind of pivot my life and do something. So we had the Sitting Duck website, which was our website for our band, nylonpink.tv. And we're like, well, what do we do with it? There's nothing on there. We're not playing music. I was like, let's just start writing articles about travel and beauty. And we started doing that. And it picked up. It was starting to gain momentum. And then like within the first 6 months, it ended up hitting like over 100,000 page views a month. So we're like, holy cow, this is a huge thing. We started to submit it to different like travel agencies across the world. And we were basically traveling the world, writing about writing and submitting to publications about traveling. And that was, it was crazy. It was like a complete 180. Like, you know, I had blonde hair. I dressed up like very, very girly and stuff like that. And I just like flipped myself around because I was so depressed about what had happened, you know, and just like losing music. And I just didn't want to like, I wanted to be a different person.
I mean, I saw,
and then COVID hit.
when I was looking up at your, just kind of doing a bit of research into your background, I genuinely thought I'd found the wrong person because I saw these other photos of you and it literally is like looking at a different person. I was like, well, this can't be Kiki from Instagram because she looks like a fashion blogger or something. It was so surreal. And then like trying to piece how these two people had the same journey was really interesting. And then, yeah, as you say, and you mentioned Alicia as well, because she plays in Dragon Force now as well, right?
That's right. Yeah. So she's the singer and the bassist of our band and the founder. That's her project. And then she also plays for Dragon Force.
Awesome. And that's Vigil of War, your current band you're playing. Awesome. And then, yeah, you mentioned, so you got to a point, you were doing all the travel stuff and then COVID hit, which is definitely not a great world to be doing travel writing in.
It was devastating because we had 6 trips planned across the globe that year and they all just got canceled. And we were like, what do we do? What do we do? Like we just were completely like lost. And so like, well, there's this whole TikTok thing going on and we're like, I don't know what this is. And we're like, well, let's just mess with it. So we have this group that it's a social media group for influencers and brands. Has like over 25,000 members in it. So we're like, well, let's just like do this test. Like, let's just mess around and do a 30-day TikTok challenge. And we're like, we wanted to do it because we wanted to know what the heck TikTok was and we didn't know. So we ran this challenge and it was free. We're like, hey, anybody join, whoever wants to learn. And we grew, like we learned so much about how TikTok worked and how like this short form video content is like really, really capturing audiences for whether you're a musician, whether you're just a content creator, food, anybody, any, if you have interesting content, you can like leverage it and create something amazing on TikTok. So I tested out different styles. I was doing sober content because I've been sober for 3 years now and that didn't work. So I was like, well, shoot, let me just grab the guitar and try. And so it ended up taking off from there. And that's kind of like where the whole thing happened. It did take a year though, but that's where I am now. So.
Yeah, I mean, it really did take off. I mean, over 200,000 on Instagram, over 200,000 on TikTok. That's pretty incredible. And I guess it. I'm just interested to know what it was like kind of almost reappraising your entire approach to music, because you're not just kind of writing songs now. You're thinking about how to deliver metal as content for a short form audience. I mean, there must have been quite a lot of time working out what really worked and what didn't work, even just within that bracket of like metal influencing, if you want to call it that.
100%. Yeah. And it's so crazy. Like I was just doing this on a live the other day. And the thing about metal is like, I love it so much. I'm so obsessed with metal that like, it's almost limited my, like my music knowledge because I literally exclusively only listened to metal for so long. But like, I love it and I'm so passionate about it. And that like, that's the style that I like to play. So that was the only thing that I knew how to do. But I noticed that the evolution of like the music that I've been doing, I started doing like some covers of like, you know, kind of like doing mashups at first. They were like getting a little bit of buzz. And then I started doing just regular songs that people could recognize. And, you know, it was kind of like getting people that already listened to metal involved and they're like, hey, this is cool. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, you know, in Nylon Pink, we used to do K-pop covers and make them heavy, but not fully metal. I was like, I'm just going to start doing these trending TikTok songs and then make them like super crazy heavy and just do what I used to do back in the day. Back in, not that far back in the day, but and then,
okay.
and then it just like it took off and it gathered such an incredible audience. I had this video that I posted a couple days ago. It has 1.3 million views. It gained 100,000 followers on TikTok. And the people that are on there are not just metalheads. They're like metalhead parents, that have little babies that like have little 2-year-olds, and then they're showing like duets with it. And then there's a kid holding a toy guitar playing next to my video. And I was like, this is everything. This is literally why I'm doing this. I want to continue to inspire these younger generations to keep metal alive, to keep guitars alive, to keep guitar sales happening, to let this world never die out with our younger generation. So seeing that makes me so motivated and so stoked to just keep on doing it. And I do get a lot of hate too. I have endorsement through Schecter. I posted an Alexi Laiho cover. I laugh about it because it's funny. And I did this the tone was terrible, but I put it up, you know, just really quick to get, I probably should have fixed it. And then Schecter's like, cool, it's a Schecter guitar. So they posted the video and I got absolutely destroyed by a lot of the guitar, the guitar nerds out there. And you gotta love the guitar nerds, but man.
Well, when you say guitar nerds, like, do you mean like fellow musicians, fellow kind of people that are putting guitar music on TikTok, or just random idiots on the internet? Like, there's levels to haters.
It's hard to tell. I'm a guitar nerd. I love everything about guitar. So I love guitar nerds. Like, I would go on forums and post about them. But I think it's like people that maybe are upset that I'm a girl. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's they're upset I'm a girl, or upset that I didn't play it perfectly. They're kind of nitpicking at certain things, or, you know, I accidentally spelled, like what happened is I accidentally spelled the name wrong in the caption. But once you post a video, you can't edit it after. So I put in my own caption. I was like, hey, sorry about the spelling. But unfortunately, when they reposted it, they didn't repost my caption. So everyone was like, she doesn't even know how to spell his name. And I was like, it was my fault, I guess. But, you know, like, yes.
The internet is unforgiving. It's I can only imagine. So what kind of stuff gets the most surprising reactions for you? Is there something you just kind of threw out there that you weren't, I mean, you mentioned the video doing over 1 million in no time at all, which is crazy, but is there anything else you put out there just as an experiment? Because you do all sorts of funny stuff. I saw one that you put the Seven Nations Army riff to someone getting their tattoo removed. Which, if you don't really kind of know TikTok and what's going on Instagram at the moment, it's going to sound absolutely ridiculous, but there's someone that's posted a video of them getting their tattoo removed with a laser. It's kind of going do. And you come in and just start riffing the Seven Nation Army riff over it. Like, is there anything like that you just kind of did for a bit of a laugh and just completely blew up that you weren't expecting?
I did one. This one was bad. So I posted it on TikTok initially. That's where I got the idea from. And it was like, I don't know which country it was from, but they were basically testing the durability and strength of a window, a car window. So it shows this girl sitting very calmly while this guy is like beating the window. And it looks alarming at first.
I saw that one.
It looks a little alarming because you're like, what is happening? Someone's about to like break into this girl, but it's just testing the window out. And they show it later. They're like, hey, testing the window. So I was like, this is funny. So I posted Crazy Train over that because the beat was just like really on. That guy had great rhythm. So I was like, this is great. So I posted it. TikTok took it down. It was at 30,000 in less than an hour. And TikTok was like, community guidelines. And I was like, why? And I appealed it. And they were like, nope, you can't have it. And there was other videos that did it with different songs. I was like, come on now. But I was like, you know what? Let's go to Instagram. And that one, I think, hit over 1 million. I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. But it got a lot of views and people were just laughing. So I was like, this is just so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's awesome. In terms of the way social media is kind of channeling all that stuff, does it feel like metal is kind of getting a kind of fresh opportunity to reach people on social media now? You mentioned one of the things you want to do is kind of inspire kids to pick up a guitar and get into heavy music. Does it kind of feel like, in the absence of maybe quite as many heavy bands breaking into the mainstream as we've had in years gone by, that maybe we've got a good opportunity to kind of embrace social media to make the most of this kind of stuff now?
Absolutely. I think there is so much out there for the world to hear and know and learn about metal. And I know that it's crazy to me sometimes because I see sometimes these big bands and I feel like that they could really leverage social media to showcase the art of metal. And I think there's like sort of the stigma of like, oh, social media is lame. Like it's, you know, cheesy. And I get it. It gets very cheesy. I am a cheesy person, but at the same time, like it's connecting people, it's connecting younger generations. It's connecting people who may be on the cusp and like want to learn. Like that's how I learned. I started out listening to Linkin Park and like then learned about this band and learned about, and then went down this rabbit hole of awesomeness. And like, I think that if we like, as, you know, musicians or artists or people that are like representing metal or even people just who are fanatics, they can slowly use social media to kind of showcase that and convert, but in a good way.
Yeah, of course, in a good way being the key term. Tell me about Vigil of War, kind of LA rock-based rock band. Listened to some of your stuff earlier. It's quite cool stuff. Got a lot kind of Sunset Strip, kind of punk rocky stuff in there as well. How did you guys kind of get together?
Yeah, so Alicia, so she played in the She Demons with me. Yeah. So she was like, I'm starting my new project. And basically what happened was I was like not gonna play guitar. I was like, I'm done. I hadn't played in like 3 years. I haven't even touched my guitars. Mm-hmm. And she hit me up and she was like, listen, my guitar player like bailed 2 weeks before. It was 2 weeks before their UK tour, We were gonna tour around the UK. And she was like, he bailed. Is there any possible way that you can fill in? And I was like, so set in my ways of never kind of touching the guitar again. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I was like, I 30% want to do this because I was scared. I hadn't played in a while. I was like out of guitar shape. And my ex-boyfriend at the time was like, listen, you got to do this. This is an opportunity of your lifetime. You've toured a lot of places, but you haven't toured the UK. You got to go. So I was like, fine, I'm going to go. Ended up being one of the best experiences I've ever had. And then I was like, I was just going to fill in, but I loved the band so much. I loved everybody playing. I loved the music. I loved the feeling of being like on stage and like being able to play again. I was like, I have to be a part of this. So that's how we ended up starting the project. And then it took off from there. I love the band so much. They're so talented. They're so passionate about what they do individually. So it's invigorating for sure.
Awesome. And I guess kind of once the pandemic is finally behind us, you'll be looking to get back together and head out on the road and kind of continue that chapter of all the stuff you've got going on right now.
Definitely. And we really want to go back to the UK. So we did like a makeshift tour on our own. We put it all together. And the UK is like the coolest place to tour, like by far, like the audience there and just like the support that we got, it was just so awesome. So that's definitely our next goal.
Awesome. And what else do you kind of hope to get out of 2021, either pre-pandemic or post-pandemic? Obviously you're creating lots of great content, but is there anything else you'd like to be getting out in the real world and doing more of? Not that social media isn't the real world, but you know what I'm saying?
Totally. I mean, honestly, like with COVID happening, it's been so crazy because you're right. Like, when you are creating content all the time, you almost become like a part of this virtual world where you're like, where is the perception of reality? Like, where do you draw the line? And it can be like a mind F basically. But
it's okay. We can swear.
Oh, we can't. I wasn't sure. It becomes a mind fuck, like a total mind fuck. But I agree. Like I'm focused and hopefully in September, October, like I want to go out there. I want to be able to meet the people that I'm meeting online and I want to perform. I want to like tour. I want to go out and get back into music full fledged and be on stage because performing to a camera is cool, but there's nothing better than performing to an audience and meeting and shaking the hands of the people that, that support you. So.
Awesome. Well, certainly hope to see it soon. Kiki, where can people find you if they want to come and check out all your excellent content that you're putting out there right now?
You can find me on Instagram at Kiki Wongo, TikTok at Kiki Wongo. It's pretty much at Kiki Wongo across the board. I also am starting a new Twitch channel. I just started it last week. So we'll be streaming about shenanigans, just shred stuff, tour stories. And I also play video games randomly. So if you guys are into that.
What are you playing?
Not a lot of, like, I'm not crazy, but I'm like really, really into Forza right now. So if you want to just stare at me drive a car for hours on end, it's going to be a blast. I promise.
What a world we live in. Kiki, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Good luck with everything. And hopefully we'll see you over in the UK at some point soon.
Thank you.